We're moving forward. Amen? I'm going to share some keys to moving forward and a lot to share this morning from the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence today. And Holy Spirit, we know that you are here to minister to every person today. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Minister to our hearts, our souls today, and renew us and transform us to be more like Jesus. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The key to moving forward. Jeremiah 7:23 through 24 says this, "But I commanded them this thing, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, so that it may be well with you. But they did not listen, nor bow their ear, but walked in their own plans, in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Obey God's voice is moving forward. To disobey God's voice is moving backwards. Let's go on. A nation moving backwards. In the next verses, 25 through 28. "Since that day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending. Yet they did not listen to me, nor bow down their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. But you shall say to them, this is a nation which does not obey the voice of Jehovah their God, nor receives instruction. Truth has perished and is cut from their mouth." This nation did not obey the voice of the Lord, and they would not receive instruction. And the result is the truth perishes. The truth is cut from their mouth. Matthew Henry commentary says this, "They will not speak truth. There is no believing a word they say, for it is cut from their mouth, and lying comes in the room of it. They are false both to God and man." This is talking about Judah. Judah had turned their back on God. They had set up idols in their homes. They had taken over the temple. They were sacrificing their children to the god of Moloch. They would take them and they would put them in the arms of Moloch. And Moloch was a huge statue. And there was a fire that was going underneath him. And they would take their children and lay them in the burning arms of Moloch and sacrifice their children. This was common. And God was so displeased with this. And they would not listen to the prophets. And they worshiped their idols, which they set up in their homes. We are in a nation that does not listen to God. We are in a nation that sacrifices their children. You could apply these passages right to America today. I've heard several of you say about different candidates and politicians, you can't believe a word they say. How many of you have said that? You can't believe a word they say. Well, you see, when God's word, the Bible, the standard is not in you, then truth begins to perish. It just goes away. And lying takes the place of it. Whenever there is a void in your life, something will fill that void. If we do not have our life filled with the Holy Spirit, with grace and truth, then something else will come in to fill that void. And it is the opposite of good. It is evil. And evil is running rampant in our land. So many things have happened this week. It, it, I was going to make a list, but you know what? It begins to get difficult to keep up with the next crisis that's going on, the next college shooting that's going on. And then I got an email from Bishop Hammond, and Bishop sent a word, it's part two, to America. And I want you to hear this. Are we ready?
Bless each and every one of you. I want to follow up with the word of the Lord I gave for the nation a month ago. And that is part of it was we needed a 40-day time fasting and praying through September on into October. And we're doing it at Christian National. We're doing it for America, because another catastrophic thing is about to happen in America. It's going to make Americans God conscious again, get the church praying again. But let me tell you, we got to start now. The church is God's delegated authority for changing. We can change and stop anything the devil has planned. And I know the devil comes to kill, destroy, rob. So anything that's going to rob, kill, and destroy, we can stop it. And Jesus came, may have life, and that more abundantly. Being a prophet, writing the books on the prophetic, I know there's some things you can't change. God's divine decrees are unconditional. They will happen. But what the devil plans, what man plans, and what's not a divine decree of God and a conditional prophecy, it can be changed. And we're God's agents for change. We're God's agents. We're God's ambassadors. We're God's ones that would execute His will upon the earth. And He said, this honor have all His saints to execute the judgments written. And in prayer and fasting, we can make a difference. We can change America. We can change our area. And I want to encourage you, the anointing of God and the power of God is upon us to pray and believe. God's raising up a militant church that's going to bombard heaven like Daniel did when he saw the prophecy was fulfilled for Israel to return, and then Cyrus had to come forth. He saw it in scripture. He started repenting, fasting, praying, and praised God. In 2 years Cyrus came on the kingship, and he was the prophesied one that Isaiah talked about, and they saw the return to Israel and for the rebuilding of the temple. We can see America rebuilt on American foundations of our forefathers who came here for religious liberty and freedom. And I tell you, since they passed the law on gay marriage, legalized, murderous spirits come with the homosexual problem. And I tell you, you're going to see murder advancing, expanding, extending, and we're going to have to pray against those murderous spirits. And it's hard because we opened the door, America opened the door and gave the devil the right to send hordes of murder spirits among us. But by prayer, we can subdue, we can take dominion, and we're come to destroy the works of the devil. So let me encourage you, let's pray, let's fast, let's pray, let's believe, and we can destroy the works of the devil and say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we are the ones that God's depending on to change and transform and bring forth His glory and His church. God bless you. Pray, believe, expect to see miracles and transformation. Amen.
Amen. Just a few points of what he said. The church is God's delegated authority in the earth. We are the legislative body in the earth. If the church is sleeping and not praying and not decreeing God's word and God's will into the earth, then the devil runs rampant. And you know, the church has been asleep long enough. It is time to wake up and get on your knees and pray. It's time to get in this place when it's corporate prayer time. We started a corporate prayer meeting on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. Elder Sylvie is heading that up from 6 to 7 before our life groups start. And we're here the third Sunday of every month for 24 hours. Elder Jim leads prayer every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Come on, it's time to wake up and realize it's the church's responsibility to pray. We are God's authority in the earth. We are God's agents of change and His ambassadors. You see, an ambassador has all the authority, everything that they need to carry forth the king's assignments or the president's assignments. The ambassador has what it takes to fulfill what they're asked to do. So tell somebody, I've got what it takes. Come on, we've got to get that down on the inside of us. This is a new season. We're moving forward. God is giving us a new identity. And he's taken the veil off of our eyes so that we will see the authority and the power that we walk in this earth. The church isn't just a place to gather and pat yourself on the back and say, I went to church this week. I'm such a good person, you know? No, God has an assignment for the church. Hallelujah. We can stop and change anything that the devil has planned. The scripture tells us we have all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We have the authority. And so, church, we've got to learn how to use that authority. Bishop said, if it's not a decree and prophecy of God, then we cannot change it. And you've heard us say that from this pulpit. If it is God's will, it's not going to change. But if it is not God's will, then it is the church's responsibility to stop those attacks. We have the honor as his saints to execute the judgments that are already written. The devil is already defeated. Come on, Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. And we remind him that he's defeated. We remind him that the blood of Jesus still cries out for mercy for us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, redeems us from the hand of the enemy. We all belong to Satan. We were all children of Satan until we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's kind of hard for people to swallow, but the scripture clearly says they were of their father, the devil. Is that right, church? And so God redeemed us. Thank you, Lord. Because Satan is a taskmaster. He'll make a slave out of you. He'll make a prostitute out of you. He'll make a drug addict out of you. He will ruin your life. He'll dictate to you what you're going to do. But Jesus, the blood of Jesus, redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Pray against murderous spirits. You've heard it from this pulpit. That agenda is a violent agenda. What it appears to be on the surface is not what it is. It is very deceptive. You study about Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a violent agenda. They were going to force people. And murderous spirits have been released into America because America has opened the door for them to come right in. And you have seen on the news, heard on the news, if you watch the news, the manifestation of the murderous spirits that are here. They are violent. And the hordes of hell are opening up. And more is being released than what we consciously are aware of. But spiritually, I'm sure some of you sense something is not right. Something is going on behind the scenes. Has anyone sensed that? We know the devil's always at work behind the scenes, and it is up to us to pray the blood of Jesus, to pray protection, to pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be prayed. So you can pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit knows as he prays through us exactly what is the perfect will of God. When we don't know how to pray, we simply don't know what to pray, we pray in the Holy Spirit. That's why the devil took tongues out of the church. That's why he doesn't want you praying in tongues. You know, he can't understand tongues. He has no clue what you're praying. He can't set up a counterattack against you when you're praying in tongues. We need to pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. In prayer and fasting, we can transform America. We can see America rebuilt on our Christian foundations. The scriptures that I read to you from Jeremiah, there was no repentance in this nation. And God ended up turning them over to their enemies. And that's what happens. When a nation turns their back on God and refuses to repent, God will turn them over to their enemies and they will ravage them. The scripture says the enemy came in and it ravaged the women and killed all the children. The devil is a killer. He's a murderer. He has no mercy. So we should stop having mercy on the works of the devil. You know, in Bishop's new book on how can these things be, he uses the example of rat poisoning. And he said rat poisoning is 99% good stuff, but it's just that 1% that will kill the rat. So how much are we going to allow into our life of evil and excuse away? And sin, it will destroy. It will destroy. It gets bigger. It one thing leads to another. It hasn't your mom ever told you that or your dad? One thing leads to another. All right, we are the ones God is depending on to change and transform and bring forth the glory of the church. And he said, we are a militant church that will bombard heaven. God has called us to be a militant church, to execute judgments that are already written in the scripture. That might be a new term for some of you, and we'll study about militant church and what Bishop means by that as we go, but we are called to war in the heavenlies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spirits of darkness, against rulers of evil. It's not against flesh and blood. The fight that we're in is a spiritual war, and it cannot be won with carnal weapons. But the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so we need to know how to use our weapons of warfare, because there is a war going on. And whether you want to be in it or not, if you're alive on planet Earth at this very moment, you're in it. Whether you're fighting on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side, you're still in it, because that's where we live. All right, so Bishop encouraged us, pray and fast. Let's get serious about prayer and the importance of praying for one another, especially protection over one another. And listen to the Holy Spirit, whether you should go or should not go. Listen to the Holy Spirit to prepare yourself. He has said a catastrophic event is coming to America that will change the hearts of men and cause them to cry out to God once again. And I was praying about that, and I believe I heard something from the Lord, and I sent it to Bishop and to Apostle Leon to judge. And for those of you that can follow what I'm saying, I'm just going to share what I sent to them. They said I was right on. In prayer, I believe I heard that in 2001, there was a catastrophe in America on 9/11. And it was a physical event. We found out that the enemy could penetrate into our nation and destroyed the buildings and smashed bodies. It was a physical event. And people began to cry out to God. And that caused a shift in America. But pretty soon, we got dull of hearing. And then in 2008, the markets crashed. And that affected the souls of men. The souls of men, they were crying out for their riches. And they were crying out because of the uncertainty of the financial system. And that caused a shift. And then, 7 years later, in 2015, the Pope visited the United States of America. And the Pope coming into America caused a catastrophic spiritual shift in our nation. We're not seeing the fruit of it yet, but we will. I heard several commentators say that the Pope is the one that connects heaven to earth. We are able to connect with God through the Pope. Look at the Pope. He is a Prince of Peace. Look at him coming. Here he comes. He does such good works. It caused a catastrophic shift, spiritual shift in America, and great deception. The blanket of deception that was over our nation just got increased sevenfold and weighted down the people. And they are sincerely deceived. It's not that they want to be deceived. Anyone that's ever been deceived doesn't want to be deceived. But you are sincerely deceived. But it was like this blanket went over them. As the Pope came in to connect the one world religion with the one world financial system, there is something going on. We don't have all of the revelation, but I believe it was a catastrophic shift in the spirit realm. And whatever God is getting ready to do or allow the devil to do, it is deeply going to affect the spiritual condition of the men and women of this nation. We will see the manifestations of body, soul, and spirit of the will of God being done on the earth. I believe on earth as it is in heaven. That's the commission of the church. That's our charge. We see the devil at work. And God allowing it because America has sinned against God. And you do not get a pass to get out of jail free when you do that. It doesn't work that way. But there is a remnant. If we will pray, like Gideon's 300, there were too many people. God said, I'm cutting down this army. There's too many people. Gideon's probably thinking, there's too many people. What are you trying to do to me, God? And he cut the army. And he cut the army again. Because you know what God wanted? Not a lot of people. He wanted the right people. He wanted the right people for the job. You're the right people for the job. You're in a Christian international church. We are militant churches. We believe in spiritual warfare. We believe in executing judgment on the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. To break every chain. And we're not bashful about it. Hallelujah. You know what? We have no mercy on the works of the devil. Have no mercy on them. Hallelujah. So Apostle Leon gave me an acronym to preach from on shift because we're shifting and we're going to read our prophetic word together. Do you have that he gave us last week? Should be in your handout. Everyone should have one. Would you like one, Apostle Leonard? You know, we don't want to get a word and then just let it fall to the wayside. He gave it to us, the corporate church. And so let's read it together. Are you ready? I hear the Lord saying that you are in a new season as a church and as families, and I have shifted the atmosphere that surrounds you And I want you to see your opportunities as a corporate church through new eyes and with a fresh vision, not looking through the maze of the past and yesterday, but through new eyes of faith for your future. For surely this is a new day for you and a new season, and you must respond differently today than you did yesterday, as old things have passed away and all things have become new. I hear the Lord saying that if you treat today the same in your faith and your confession, you will get the same results as you did in the past. However, it is a new day, and if you will change your confession and bring it into alignment with your spirit and heart, I will show forth my glory on your behalf. I will shift your families. I will shift your business and incomes. I will shift your community and your city. I will shift your church, and you see and experience a new momentum, says the Lord. I hear the Father saying that as you prepare, I will provide. As you prepare to expand your vision, I will provide the resource that you will need as a provision to fulfill the vision. I hear the Lord say that you have possessed on the level that you are on, and now I am taking you to a new level, says the Lord. For I want to give you new influence with fresh authority to tear down the strongholds over the seven mountain kingdoms, and I will position you to have new favor and influence into these kingdoms, says the Lord. I will increase the forces that you have so that you will be able to possess and enforce my purposes, says the Lord. For it is a new day. Rally your troops together, for surely I have given you an army that is well able, like Joshua and Caleb of old, says the Lord. Shift within the shift. I hear God saying that I have already made a major shift for this season. Some are looking for me to shift, but I have already shifted, says the Lord. Page 2. Read loud. Oh. Surely you are learning a new level of warfare, and you will break the snare of the enemy. You are going to have to stand strong in this battle with the confidence that I am fighting with you, says the Lord. For I have not shifted you into this season to destroy you, but to bring you to another level of your authority in me, with understanding of the greatness of my power within you. Father says he will shift your attitude from negative to positive, shift your circumstances from impossible to possibilities, shift your position to be repositioned for operating within the new shift. Shift your mindset about your self-image, for you are like me and I am like you, says your Father. Shift your faith to a believing faith, not head faith, but heart faith. I will shift for you, but I want you to shift within the shift, not looking for a way out, but a way through. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, a good word. I have so many papers up here. Okay. And then he closed with some scriptures. Did you put those scriptures up? Galatians 6:9. So let us not become tired of doing good, for if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. And it's harvest time. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But you, friends, must not become tired of doing good. God will cause things to shift in your behalf as we are obedient to follow after him, obey his commandments, and walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So Apostle Leon sent me an acrostic of the word shift to teach on, and he likes to do that. He'll say, all right, I'm going to give you this, and I'll develop a lesson on it. And he was talking on the spirit of suppression when he was here. And he did the same thing with me on that. He gave me that little bit that he gave you on Sunday. I think it was Sunday morning. And he said, Janet, take this and develop a whole preaching on it. And I did. If you want the CD, you can get the CD of it on the spirit of suppression and how that affects our life. And so he likes to give me assignments. And so he gave me this assignment to develop the acrostic that he gave me. And the first letter is S. And sacrifice yourself unto God with a sacrifice of praise, prayer, and the profession of your faith. That's what he gave me to develop. So we're going to talk about sacrifice yourself unto God in this shift. This is where we are. When I think about a sacrifice, I think about the cross of Jesus Christ. And there are two beams on the cross. One is pointing upward, which is vertical, which represents our relationship to God. And the other extends horizontally, which represents our relationship to the people of God. And we're going to focus on our relationship with God. So let's go to Psalm 50, verses 1 through 5. Which is not in your PowerPoint because God gave all this to me yesterday. So you're just going to have to take notes. We spoil you around here. So it is Psalm 50, verses 1 through 5, and I believe Aaron is going to put those up. It says this, "The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around him. He shall call to the heaven from above and to the earth that he may judge his people." Verse 5, "Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." This psalm is a preview of Jesus Christ's return at the end of the age. And he says, gather my saints, gather my godly ones, my concentrated ones. So what are saints and who are the godly ones? He goes on and he says, the ones who have made covenant with me by sacrifice. Our first letter is S. Sacrifice. The people that truly belong to God are those who have entered into a relationship with God that's based on a sacrifice. The original Hebrew says, these are those who have cut covenant with me on the basis of sacrifice. In other words, the godly ones, the people that belong to God, are those who have entered into relationship with God that is based on a sacrifice. It's a covenant relationship. That is the only basis of relationship that God will accept. When we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, we enter in based upon his conditions, not upon the ones that we make ourselves. If we look through history in the Bible, we see that every time God wanted a sacrifice or wanted a relationship with man, he did it through covenant. And covenant is based on sacrifice. He did that with Noah, and he did that with Abraham, and he did that with Israel, and he did that with the church. It's based on covenant. Let's go to Matthew 26, 27, and 28. Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The only way to enter into the covenant was by drinking the blood of the covenant. The blood speaks of sacrifice. It speaks of new covenant. The death of Jesus was a sacrifice, and it consummated all other sacrifices from the beginning of time. There was always a shedding of blood. Always a shedding of blood in covenant and a shedding of blood for the remission of sins. Let's go to Hebrews 9:26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, talking about Jesus. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Jesus did his part of the covenant. He totally sacrificed himself. Hebrews 10:12-13 says this. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstools. The church does that. Jesus offered one sacrifice for our sins. He sat down at the right hand of God. He sits there and he intercedes and he prays for us. He ever lives to make intercession for the church that is in the earth. There are powerful prayers coming from the throne room for the church of Jesus Christ. We are the church. There are powerful prayers being prayed right this minute for you. For your life, for your situation, for your loved ones. Hebrews 9:16-17 said, for where there is a testament, and testament and covenant are the same word, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So to be in covenant with Jesus Christ requires a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is laying down our lives. Because there's no covenant relationship without us laying down our lives. Jesus set the pattern. But to enter into covenant with him, we have to follow the pattern that he set. He laid down his life for us, and the covenant is completed when we completely lay down our lives for him. Matthew 16:25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus was saying he has a life for each one of us to find. But we will not find our life in Jesus Christ unless we give up this life. I'm not talking about martyring, although some are called to be martyred. I'm not talking about a physical death, but I am talking about dying to ourselves and giving our life to him. If we want to have a new life, first we have to lay down the old life, which means you can't do the things you used to do. You can't go the places you used to go. You can't hang out with the people you used to hang out with. There is a change that comes into our life. It's called giving up the world. It's called giving up the world and the things of the world. If you love the world and the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. You know, there are so many statements in the Bible that we just kind of reason away and overlook with our Western ideas and culture where, you know, everything's okay. If you're okay, I'm okay. You're all right with it, we're all right with it. No, it's not all right. Luke 14:13 says, in the same way, this is Jesus talking. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have, then you cannot be my disciples. We've got to lose our life to find the life that Jesus Christ has for us. Jesus is saying there's no way to be his disciple unless you give up everything you have. It's interesting, that really isn't probably a topic of discussion in most Christendom. Or if it is talked about, it's talked about lightly. But everything is everything. It isn't, well, this, you can keep this, this, and this, but you can give up this. And really, that's how we go along in our journey. That's how we go along in our journey. That's how we mature in Christ. We'll give up so much, and then we're going along, but God wants to take us to another level. And the Holy Spirit begins to convict us about watching this TV program, or talking to this person, or hanging out in this place, about putting football games before church. Hey, and I like football, but I'm not going to give up my time with God and gathering with the people of God for a game. Hallelujah. I'm stepping on toes, I know. Thank you, Jesus. What did Jesus say? Everything. Tell your neighbor, Jesus said everything. You see, we're coming to a place of deeper commitment. If we're going to another level, then there's a greater charge that goes on us. And the word was for the church corporately. It wasn't just for Apostle Leonard and I. It was for everybody. We're shifting. S means to sacrifice your life. You know, when we think of Jesus giving our life for us, we're so grateful. Wow, he gave everything for me. But then the other side of that covenant relationship, Jesus is standing here today saying, I want you to give everything to me. Because I gave everything to you. I made the way for us to come into covenant together. I shed my blood for you. I gave my life for you. I have a new life for you that is much better than the life you're living right now. I've got that, but you've got to give up your life. Give up everything to follow me. Jesus said, straight is the way, or straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. He talked about the camel going through the eye of the needle. In the New Testament, the cities were built with big gates, and in the Old Testament, the cities had walls around them and big gates on them. And during the day, you could come in and out of the big gate, but at night, you could only go through the little gate. And if a traveler came to the gate, he had to totally take everything off of his camel so his camel could go through the eye of the needle. You see, you couldn't pass through there with any baggage or anything extra on you. You had to leave it all outside so you could get through the eye of the needle. And that's what God is saying to us in the kingdom of God. We've got to leave this world behind. We've got to leave the baggage behind. And God says, if you'll pray, I'll change the desires of your heart. God wants us to have a new life in him, probably more than some of us want to have a new life in him. You know, he's standing at the portals of heaven bidding us, I gave my life for you. Will you give everything for me? We are at the end of the age. We're living in the last days. The church is the strategic instrument that God will use in the earth in these end times to bring forth heaven to earth. We are connectors of heaven to earth. It's not the Pope, it's us. It's us. The Prince of Peace is on the inside of us. Peace is a weapon of our warfare, because when the world is in such turmoil and they see the peace of God all over you and all around you, they want what you have. God is working for us, and God is working in us, and He's challenging us today. Will you lay it all down? This is the basis of covenant. Jesus set the pattern, and we follow His pattern. The basis for our relationship with Jesus Christ can just simply be summed up. It must be personal, total, unreserved, and commitment to God. Nothing else. He's our first thought. He's the one we counsel with when we're making a decision. He's the first thought. He's not the one you go to when you're in trouble. You can go to Him in trouble, but if you would have went to Him in the very first place, you wouldn't be in trouble. Come on. Bishop said it. We've got to pray now. There is a catastrophic event coming to America. We don't know when it will hit, but we know the spirit realm was shifted when the Pope came into the United States. Something was shifted, and it's going like this in the spirit. And we will see it manifest. But God says, pray now. Totally commit yourself to me now. Prepare now. Work, for the night is coming when no man can work. So we work while it is day. And we work while it is harvest time. Jesus said, look out on the harvest. It's harvest time. We just celebrated the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's harvest. It's harvest. God has a harvest for each one of us to bring into the storehouse of the Lord. To bring into His family. There's lots of room at the table here. Amen. Closing verse, Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the sacrifice that You gave. Thank You, Lord, that today You're challenging us for a deeper commitment, a deeper level of commitment to You. And Lord, I pray for every person that is here. Lord, that You'll move in their heart in a mighty way, and You will draw them to You. And they will say, yes, Lord, to You. Lord, that they lay down their life to receive new life. And if you make that commitment today, can you just say with me, Heavenly Father, I lay down my life that I can receive Your new life. In Jesus' name. Father, thank You that You're moving in the hearts of men and women today. And Lord, that You're drawing each one of us closer to You. Thank You, God, for Bishop Hammond, for Apostle Leon Walters. Thank You for Christian International. Thank You, Lord, for the bold voice that they have, that they are not ashamed of the gospel, and that they will preach the truth. And we just pray, Father, for Bishop, that You surround him with Your angels, that You protect him on every side. God, we pray for his health, his strength, and his provision. Lord, keep his feet from falling, strengthen his legs, and strengthen his back. Lord, continue to take him to the nations, to the cities of this world, God, to share the revelation You've given him of the restoration of the church. And help us, Lord, here at River of Life, to have a deeper understanding of who we are and the times and the seasons we live in. Thank You, Lord. draw us close to you as we lay down our life, as we totally commit. Lord, you know where each person is at, and this message was not sent to condemn, but Holy Spirit, you're here to convict. You convict us right where we're at, and we say yes, Lord. And then when you get done with that, you'll convict us again. And we'll say, yes, Lord, because that's just the way he works. And those that have walked with the Lord for a long time know that. And so, Lord, we receive your grace today. And we receive your truth today that sets us free. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Jesus.